Crack 16, pulling the right strings at Norwich Puppet Theatre. This month, our resident historian goes behind the scenes at one of only two provincial puppet theatres in the country.
Mentioning puppetry to people of my generation usually brings recollections of Muffin the Mule on television or Punch and Judy shows at the seaside. Muffin the Mule, assisted by Annette Mills, became an early star of children's television, first appearing in October 1946, just 3 months after the restart of television following the Second World War. Since at the time the ability to transmit a television signal was limited to a 30-mile radius of Alexandra Palace, the audience was rather small and largely metropolitan. It was to be another 6 years before transmission on a national basis became possible. And so it seems astonishing that Muffin became such a national institution, given that the original programme ceased in 1955 after the death of Annette Mills. There were revivals, but it is the episodes hosted by Annette Mills that most seem to remember. The story of Punch and Judy goes back much further. The first recorded performance in England was in 1662 near Covent Garden and was reportedly witnessed by Samuel Pepys, who referred to it in his diary. Originally intended for an adult audience as the Cromwellian era, when Puritanism reigned supreme, came to an end, the storyline was adapted over the years to appeal to a younger market. The storyline had always been subject to a degree of individual interpretation by presenters, but the basic actions have generally remained. In these days, when there is greater awareness of domestic violence, we shall probably see a diminution of Mr. Punch's stick work. Puppetry, though, has been in vogue at various times. It's reputed to date back 4,000 years to Egyptian times. But in England, one of its peaks of popularity was in the Victorian era, when touring companies of Italian puppeteers created such a demand that an existing London exhibition hall was converted into the Royal Marionette Theatre in 1852. It must have been known about quite quickly because in the same year, my great-grandfather, a Norfolk country vicar, recorded in his diary, took our children to see the morning performance of the Marionette Theatre. The puppets have been exhibited in every capital in Europe. The deception was really admirable, it being difficult to believe that they were not things of life. Today, just 4 puppet theatres exist in England, of which 2 are in London, but Norwich is singularly fortunate in that the city is home to one of the only 2 provincial ones. And what a home it is. It's all too easy to forget that Norwich also is the home of the largest collection of medieval churches anywhere in Europe. Following the Second World War, the population moved from city centre to the suburbs, meaning that congregations in several parishes fell to the extent that some individual churches were not sustainable and a number had to close. Quite apart from any feeling of spiritual deprivation, there was also the question of what could be done to prevent the dilapidation of the physical premises. Were they to be allowed simply to deteriorate? Medieval buildings require a lot of remedial work to remain safe and worthy examples of their type. Were they to be demolished and so lost forever? Happily, a solution was found. The freehold of 17 of these churches was taken on by the City Council and a charity established to secure their maintenance. To fund this was decided to let out the properties for secular purposes and the Norwich Historic Churches Trust was established. One of those churches was St James Pockthorpe, and here I must admit to some personal interest, as my father was appointed vicar there during the Great War. Perhaps because it was his first parish, he retained a huge affection for it right up until his death nearly 40 years later. During the brief spell that I was one of the trustees of the charity in whose care it was placed, I did sometimes reflect on what he would have thought of its closure and future use. After a spell as a night shelter for the homeless, it became in 1980 the home of Norwich Puppet Theatre and has remained so ever since, the longest single tenancy in the history of the Trust. While I suspect he would have been sad that the healthy congregation numbers had not been maintained, he would certainly have approved of the shelter that the building offered to the homeless and probably have been happy that its later use brought pleasure to children and families. The theatre company, founded by Ray De Silva, had existed as a touring company for about 20 years before taking a lease of St James's. It had toured not just in the United Kingdom, but internationally, visiting Japan, the United States and New Zealand. The move to a permanent base made it possible for them to offer not just an extended programme of performances, but also a temporary home for other touring companies, and perhaps, from a community perspective, most important, a range of social and educational opportunities for children of all ages. Norwich has certainly been a beneficiary of its establishment. Converting a church into a theatre and then performing there is not straightforward. Churches tend not to have wings on either side of the chancel. Productions have to take account of the fact that there is only often one side from which characters can arrive and depart the stage. And theatres do not usually have large glazed windows the whole length of the auditorium, and neither does the congregation sit in a raked nave. Even today, after work of conversion is complete, running Norwich Puppet Theatre successfully is not easy. For example, COVID was a major problem, not just because it meant the suspension of performances, but also in its long-term effect. Families, to quote Peter Beck, the director of the theatre, simply stopped going out. They got out of the habit. Recovery was tough, and there are long-term constraints too. Running a theatre primarily for children's shows creates financial issues. First, because such shows are normally only in daytime or early evening, and the expensive to maintain premises lie idle and unproductive in the late evenings. And even more significant, the nature of the audience precludes the opportunity of running a bar, which can make a significant contribution towards the running costs of a conventional theatre. Norwich Puppet Theatre is itself a charity, and its director and its board of trustees have grasped the financial nettle effectively by creating additional revenue streams from adult productions, which enable the theatre to operate in the evenings, and by running a bar at such events. The theatre offers the community much more than just staged performances. There is a large-scale programme of workshops and classes, and these include everything from learning how to make puppets to learning how to perform with them. There are classes for young children, family groups and for young adults. In addition, the company works with schools and offers online support for teachers. And there are other facilities too. Among them, the theatre is licensed for weddings. It seems an irony to me that it is now possible to be married on the stage with your guests sitting in the raked seats of the auditorium in the same building where Christian weddings had been solemnised for centuries and where my father was taking such services 100 years ago. I was reminded of him when I visited the theatre as part of my research for this article. I found, recovered and restored at the back of the auditorium, a plaque recording the parishioners lost in the First World War, which must have been first erected during his incumbency. A slight but real thread of connection. Before my meeting with Peter Beck to learn more about the theatre, I enjoyed a cup of coffee by the bar. Looking down at the floor, I found a memorial stone to one Mostyn John Armstrong, 1752 to 1791, and imagined my father spotting it too, and idly speculating, as did I, whether there was some ancestral connection of which I was unaware. My subsequent meeting with Peter left me with a better understanding of just how varied and original the world of puppetry can be, an admiration for the wider aspects of the work carried out offstage, especially for the benefit of children, and a sense of gratitude not just to Peter and his staff, but to the many volunteers who helped to sustain this rare phenomenon. Norwich can be both proud and grateful for their work.